What is up, everyone? This is Noelle Foley, and you are listening to Pro Wrestling Proverbs. Oh, yeah. Have a nice day.
This Wednesday's episode of AEW Dynamite is set to be a big one, according to Tony Khan. As he's been promoting it all week, he is teasing the next Forbidden Door signing. And this claims to be it's a big wrestling free agent. But there's somebody in particular I want to talk about. It is just me this week, though. Logan is not here. He is a big boy. He has a big boy job that demands a lot of him. So timing to get him on here wasn't working out, and we need to get this up before Dynamite, obviously, before I get proved wrong, or before this Reddit poster gets proved wrong. And that is that Triple H, that's right, the game, Triple H, he'll be walking through the Forbidden Door on Dynamite. Tony Khan is looking to play the game. He knows how to play it. Now, this user, going by the name of King Bedford, has this really detailed post here on Reddit. I sent it over to Logan kind of as a joke. But as you read through it, it kind of gets you hyped at the possibility of Triple H coming through the Forbidden Door here on AEW. But in all likelihood, this is not going to happen. I'll put that here on the top before anybody clicks on this and thinks that I actually believe that Triple H is walking through. If he does, you know, I'll take full credit that I believe in it before anybody else. But in all likelihood, 99.9999% chance it won't happen. Never say never, though, you know, in the world of pro wrestling. But this is most definitely not going to happen. This post starts off by saying Uncle Paul is the one that we walking through the Forbidden Door. Of this, I am absolutely convinced. In fact, it is a fact. I am a member of the pro wrestling journalism industry. Okay. I'm an editor for the wrestling division of a global sports coverage site and have no actual context or insider knowledge. So I know what I'm talking about. You kind of put that in small letters here. So he's obviously being facetious here. I'm going to click on this guy's Reddit account real quick. Oh, he's the editor for Sportskeeda Wrestling. I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't really know much about him. He says he doesn't have any insider knowledge, but Sportskeeda, I believe, is pretty a pretty big site. Founded in 2009. They did a bunch of stuff. So it's not just some random guy on here, but again, I believe he's just being he's having a good old joke here. But but once we get into it, you'll see. He starts off with Exhibit A, the tweet. The first tweet here by Tony Khan, placed on February 4th, right after Dynamite, I believe this was. Or Rampage, I'm sorry. As referenced on AEW Rampage, I have a surprise on Dynamite live on the TBS network that a top wrestler will walk through the Forbidden Door this Wednesday and debut in AEW. More info to come. Thank you to everyone who joined us on a great Rampage tonight. Blah, 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 blah. All right. So we got the tweet. Wherein one, Anthony Khan announces that a top wrestler will walk through the Forbidden Door next Wednesday at Dynamite. Khan rarely announces a Forbidden Door breach this bluntly, so it must be huge. I just noticed that he used the term top wrestler, which kind of blows this whole theory of being trips out of water. But whatever, we're moving on. As well as you know, the Forbidden Door has never been used to refer to a free agent talent. It exists as a stand-in term for cross-promotion, an employee, in quotes, in parentheses, independent contractor, from another company crossing the divide and appearing on AEW television or vice versa. That means it cannot and will not be Keith Lee, although it would be lovely to have him. Exhibit B, the second tweet. Now, the second tweet reads, the Forbidden Door can't be opened for anyone from any wrestling promotion whether or not it's a company AEW is on good terms with, even if it's someone from a company that's open for business. They also welcome to slam the door in the face of their prior company. Now, this is the big one. This is the one we've been waiting for all our lives. This is now a legendary tweet. Tony Khan emphasizes the forbidden door. Even if it's someone from a company that is open for business. And this is a direct quote from Triple Hunter H. Helmsley. Not only that, but Trips has used the exact words on two different occasions, once in December of 2020, where he stated that WWE was open for business in regards to cross-promotion, and once in a media call in April of last year where he reiterated that both he and Vince McMahon are, quote, open for business. No one else has said this, and I mean, I haven't gone looking, but I remember these words, so did Tony Khan. This was a deliberate callback. Y'all have been warned. Thirdly, there's also welcome to slam the door in the face of the prior company. Yeesh. That's absolutely a proud referencing some possible bad treatment by whoever this upcoming door buster is currently working for. Let's be real. We all know that Trips is likely pissed at Papa Vince and Nick Khan and all the dirtbags who have doubtless been trying to curry favor in Hunter's absence. Since his cardiac emergency, NXT has been completely stripped down. His protégés, mentors, and colleagues moved elsewhere are cut entirely, and the stars he worked to promote have gone to AEW. If Tony Khan is inviting anyone to slam the door in their former employer's face, who better than Triple H? Exhibit 3. He won't stop tweeting. The big announcement on Wednesday Dynamite that we referenced on AEW Rampage, a free agent debut, and the person walking through the forbidden door are one and the same. They're walking in the door, signing a contract, and then slamming the door shut on Wednesday. Hunter's coming to AEW and slamming the door in W's face. Tony Khan is hyping this up so much that if it turns out to be Shane fucking McMahon, I'm going to be really pissed. So will Logan. I've never seen somebody so happy when somebody has gotten fired from their job than Logan has. And Logan gets pretty happy when a lot of people get fired from their jobs. But this one, when Shane McMahon got let go by WWE, even though I don't live with him anymore, it was like a sixth sense. I felt it. I felt the giant happiness coming from hundreds of miles away at his home. That he will no longer have to see Shane McMahon on WWE television anymore. And he doesn't have to fight him. You know, he would love to fight Shane McMahon and beat him up. Logan no longer has to do that. Exhibit 4, wild speculation. Up until now, I've given you nothing but cold, hard facts. Now we'll delve into the murky, slim sacks of deep lore and angry, flailing speculation. Here's a quote from Cody Rhodes at the end of last month. I am thankful to the fans that cheer me, and I am thankful to the fans that boo me. Because both sets of fans are going to get ready to go on a ride that's just bizarre, and it's not the path you think. We're not doing what's been done before. Want to know why he's working without a contract? I'll tell you. It's because Triple H is coming in. Cody built half of his character in New Japan Pro Wrestling and early AEW on hating Trips, even going so far as to break the throne with a sledgehammer. Lately, he has been teasing the pedigree before using a pile driver. Now he is working without a contract. That's because Triple H, coming to AEW, will, in kayfabe, piss Cody off. And the entire thing would be turned into a storyline, with Cody threatening to leave the kingdom he built, or even tear it down, if Hunter is kept on board. This is going to be a work shoot for the ages, and Cody is so committed to it, that he's legitimately lurking without any pay right now. Okay, I don't know about that. Naturally, this will put Cody at odds with Adam Cole, who just this past week underwent a drastic character shift and became much more serious and vicious. I wonder why. With Triple H naturally aligning with Cole and Red Dragon and becoming their coach/manager, Cody in the former Undisputed Era will go the war, and Cody-verse Endgame will begin. The soul of AEW itself will be at stake. I almost forgot. I got takeout from an awesome shitty Chinese place down the street last week, and my fortune cookie said my lucky number is 444, which looks like a lot like what? That's right. Indisputable proof. Game over. As in, the game is going to be over, brother HH. So, yeah. So, this kind of got blown up. It was kind of posted all over wrestling sites and the Walt Culture did a video on it. I know it's been on TikTok. on my For You page like crazy the past couple days. It's a very good idea. And honestly, reading it, it does get you kind of hyped. One of the most recent comments on it, Tony Khan buys Ring of Honor, offers it free the trip to be All Elite Invasion done right. I don't believe that's going to work out much either. We obviously would have known if Tony Khan had bought Ring of Honor by now. Somebody else thinks that it's going to be Okada. Now that's outside the obvious, most likely people being like the Keith Lee or Johnny Gargano. Okada coming in would be really interesting. Because he's probably not going to go to WWE, and if you want to work with some of the best North American wrestlers, quote unquote, without them having to go all the way to Japan, AEW would be the spot for him to go. Someone says, I hope it's Don Callis. What a mega swear to expect Triple H and get him instead. If Triple H is coming, leading a stable named TakeOver. That's a little bit on the nose, but that sounds like actually a pretty good wrestling name, though. Do I think it's going to be Triple H? Like I said at the beginning, most definitely not. But it's just one of those wrestling, I don't even want to call it a conspiracy theory, like a fantasy booking that you do with your wrestling action figures, like in your bedroom, right? Like people, like kids in the 90s and early 2000s, before the invasion happened, they did it with their WCW and WWF action figures. You know, Hulk Hogan coming back and fighting Shawn Michaels, right? Or Shawn going to WCW, whichever one, like you had that imagined in your head. It's the same thing that kids today are doing. You know, they have their AEW action figures, whichever ones they can buy when the fat, greasy adults aren't buying them and collecting them to hang on their walls or whatever. That's beside the point. That's what the kids are doing today. They have their AEW figures and they have their WWE figures. And their fantasy booking, this is just what's happening here, except adults are just doing it and talking about it online and getting themselves so hyped up that they're going to be disappointed when it's somebody like Braun Strowman or Adam Shearer or whoever. I think a lot of people would be really disappointed if that happened regardless. But still, I think a lot of people are getting their hopes up. Triple H isn't leaving. He's making 7 figures plus as an executive. He just got over that cardiac. It was a heart attack. That emergency he had. So he's not wrestling. He's not going to wrestle for a spot to be in a ladder match at Revolution. And that's kind of what's been hinted at, that whoever this free agent is going to have a match on Dynamite to compete in that ladder match at Revolution. So Triple H, it being Triple H is out of the question just based on that alone. But I also have to bring up the fact that people are always talking about Triple H leaving WWE and starting his own promotion or something of the likes, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Triple H, especially now with Shane out of the company like he ever wasn't to begin with, Triple H and Stephanie are the heir apparent to that empire if it doesn't get sold before Vince dies. Why would he give that up? You would be... I hope it doesn't happen anytime soon, but in reality, it will happen. Once Vince does pass on, Triple H will most likely take a more senior role than he does now, especially in the creative area of WWE, and he just has to wait his time. He has just to buy time here, right? And him giving up $1 billion company, $1 billion wrestling organization, where he could essentially do anything he wants, then to go and start a indie promotion. Like Triple H is rich. He's not that rich. He's not a Khan family rich. He's not McMahon rich with the WWE owning majority of WWE stocks, Rich, right? He's a multimillionaire, but I don't think that's enough to for him to want to go and risk all that money when he has kids that he wants probably wants to send to college. He will have grandkids that he'll probably want to send to college as well and pay for and support his family. Putting a lot of that money on the line to build a wrestling promotion that might not work out anyway. Like, AEW's been around for a couple of years, and they're still, if it wasn't for the money that the Khan family has, they would not be where they're at now, right? And they're still struggling. They're still struggling to get more than 1 million viewers every week. It's not a consistent thing. Now, ratings aren't everything. I've said this many times before. I don't really look at the ratings in terms of success of a company. AEW puts on a great product. But people that are paying for that show are putting advertiser money onto that show do care about the ratings. And AEW hasn't been breaking whatever the million rating mark. I really don't know how to read those things. That's why I tend not to care about them or argue online like a lot of wrestling fans like to do on Reddit here. But yeah, but the idea of Triple H risking all of that, a financial safety net in WWE, and going to try to start his own promotion when there's already an AEW, an Impact, and WWE, I don't know. I don't see it happening. But as for this Wednesday night, it will be tomorrow as this is being recorded, and I'm uploading this immediately. So if you're listening to Raven Drops, it'll be tomorrow or tonight or yesterday or a couple days before if you listen to this late, and Triple H does show up and I look like a big dummy. I'll gladly take the L on that, though. I'll rather look like a dummy and have Triple H and AEW just for the fucking, that'd be an historic moment, though. That'd just be so crazy. But I did write down some names here who I actually think it could be. And now the obvious one is Keith Lee. He was last seen on Raw on October 25th. He beat Cedric Alexander. He's obviously one when he was released with that group of wrestlers. He was a standout of somebody like, okay, this guy, he's gonna go to AEW and somebody that can possibly make an impact over there, because he has talent. Now, before I get too far into this, me and Logan have had this conversation on past episodes before, that AEW doesn't really have that much TV time and they have a lot of talent. And that's a good problem to have. I will give them that. This is a great problem to have, but it kind of makes some people feel less than, if that makes sense. Like 2 weeks ago, Britt Baker cut a promo about being the best women's wrestler in the world, how she won all these awards, how she is the AEW women's division. Great promo, but then she wasn't seen on AEW television at all this week. Why is that? Right? Because you have so many people that you're trying to push and promote at one time, and you only have 3 hours of television. I know they have Dark and Elevation, whatever, but there's a group of people that watch both, and it's a very small group, and then there's the more bigger fandom that either just watches each television show as they come out. That's also a fairly small group of people, if we're being honest, right? Not a lot of wrestling fans watch every single show every week. And then the majority of fans who kind of just check Twitter, check Reddit, watch highlights that are posted on those sites. It's kind of hard for talents to stand out that way if they can only progress the story they're telling once every 3 to 4 weeks. Would a second hour of Rampage help? Maybe. I know that a third hour of Dynamite won't be the answer. But I think maybe adding another hour to Rampage could soften that up. Or do a rotating schedule. I always thought WWE should implement this for the longest time because they always say, talk about not having an off season. Why not? Why not have an off season for some of these wrestlers? And obviously, it doesn't have to be everybody. There's some wrestlers who probably, like somebody like a Bryan Danielson right now, who told Tony that he wants to wrestle every week. There's actually some wrestlers who could work longer than others, but why aren't we having like a rotation of like 40, like 35 wrestlers on like a monthly? Obviously, it's not just a whole group of them 30 wrestling and then they all go on break. You stagger them, work through storylines, whatever. I just wondered why that hasn't really been done yet. Like unless, I don't know, unless you're the world champion, I don't really think that somebody has to be on every show in every town. I know that's more of a WWE problem than an AEW problem at this point. But still, that's just my two cents. I'm not a wrestling booker, obviously. I'd probably wouldn't make a very good one, but that's just my idea. So yeah, Keith Lee has been is probably the most likely person to come out on Wednesday, and probably the second most likely I have down on this list is Johnny Gargano. He was last seen at NXT War Games. He was on Team Black and Gold, pretty in a great match, a good match to go out on. Johnny Takeover there. He seemed only reason I didn't have him over Keith Lee is on his Twitch streams. He didn't seem too eager to get back to wrestling so soon, but he has said a couple times that watching he's been watching some takeovers, he's been watching some AEW shows. I forget exactly who it was he said he saw come out, but he said it kind of gave him the itch again and starting to pull him back. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to AEW either. He could go back to WWE. Maybe he goes back to NXT. His wife is still contracted under NXT, even though she has been away for family reasons, the birth of a child. Johnny Gargano, a good choice, a safe bet to show up on Wednesday, but I wouldn't necessarily put him above Keith Lee and the odds of showing up, just based on the fact that, like I said, he has been saying he's kind of taking a break for a little bit and resting up and healing his body. Another person I just thought about, it's kind of someone had the same dialogue going on Twitch and in interviews he had was Tyler Breeze. He seems very happy doing the Twitch stuff. And he has a lot of rental properties, he said. So he's not strapped for cash or anything. He's not somebody who has to go and work independence to make money when he gets released. He set himself up so he probably doesn't have to work a job again for the rest of his life. But yeah, Tyler Breeze, I don't think it's gonna be Tyler Breeze. I would be really happy if it was. I love Tyler Breeze. I think he's a great worker. I loved the Tyler Breeze character. All assets, all fast. What's the word? What's that word? Facets. That sounds like faucets, but facets of his characters. Another likely one. A little bit of a drop off here from Keith Lee and Johnny Gargano. That's Bray Wyatt. Windham Rotunda. He was last seen all the way back at last year's WrestleMania. He fought against Randy Orton and had that weird finish. He has not been seen since. He hasn't really been really active on social media. He's somebody that I think I told Logan back when he originally got released was that I feel like he's somebody that him and another person on this list is Adam Scherer, Braun Strowman. Those are kind of guys where I think they could be somebody that they don't wrestle again. At least I know Braun Strowman has wrestled since then, since I've said that. I think he did a run in on, was that Impact, I believe? And he's wrestled like at Northeast Wrestling. He had that match with Enzo and Bully Ray. But I still don't think I could see them going to like an AEW. The fact that Braun hasn't really been doing much since his run in on Impact, let me double check myself on that. I know he was bragging about it on social media about all the views it had on YouTube. Let's go to news here. This is some live investigative journalism. So yeah, Braun's just doing a bunch of independence right now. He doesn't like, outside of that initial reported deal with Impact that I don't think worked out, because he'd obviously be on Impact television if that did. Let me see. I feel like he would be on Impact more if he was under a deal. I hate websites that like have something in the title here. Oh, okay, that's just, he's doing the Control Your Narrative series. They're doing a bunch of live events the week of WrestleMania, it looks like. So yeah, my point still kind of stands. I don't see Braun or Bray being somebody that's going to go on to like an AEW or Impact. I just feel like it's hard to put into words the way I feel, but I feel like Bray Wyatt would have showed up somewhere by now, right? Like, his non-compete has been up for months. And if he was really eager to get back into the ring, I feel like he would have done so by now. Or more rumors that came out. There's hardly been any talk regarding him whatsoever signing with an AEW or an Impact. I mean, he hasn't done any indie dates. I know he's doing a bunch of autograph signings, virtual ones. But still. I'm going to throw this one in, but this one is all but confirmed to not happen. And that's Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy's still under his 90-day. And I don't think AEW wants to go into a lawsuit with WWE over Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy's a big name, but I don't think it's worth a potential lawsuit over. He was last seen doing that house show thing. We all know the story. Kind of just walked out, passed his drug test. Apparently WWE jumped the gun on that in releasing him due to that. Looks like he came back clean, and I think I said on the episode we did when right after he did get released that if I was AEW, I would stay away from him if he was on some sort of either alcohol or drugs or whatever, if he was in an altered state like that, if he was relapsed. But it turns out that he hasn't. And that kind of changes the game, in my opinion, on that. Since Jeff Hardy is seemingly clean, alcohol and drugs now play a factor into his release and his actions at that house show. I would be all for Jeff Hardy showing up in AEW. He most likely will. Matt Hardy has been pushing it really hard on social media. I think they even had some reference to him on Dynamite this past week, I believe. But yeah, Jeff Hardy's showing up. This seems all but certain, but it's not going to happen this week, unfortunately. Now here's there's one last one. It's kind of a curveball, kind of out there. Nobody's really talking about it. But Samoa Joe's out there. He won the NXT title against Karrion Kross, who's also out there. Karrion Kross is out there. I don't know if it's 90 days up. All these releases kind of blend together. I don't know which release he was part of. I'm going to Google Karrion Kross's 90 days. I believe he's already worked a couple shows. So his... Yeah, February 2nd. His was up. So his was up last week. So yeah, Karrion Kross, that's another name that's out there. But I had Samoa Joe written down. Somebody who's not really talked about that could show up. I don't know, he was kind of let go because he had to vacate the title. He had another injury. At the time, it felt like it wasn't supposed to be like a serious thing. It was only going to be like a couple of months. And he was going to be back and probably just win the title back. And he was just kind of just dropped it. To somebody to be like an interim champion, just to hold the belt so they can have the belt be defended on takeovers and stuff until he came back. But Joe just never came back. So it begs the question, was his injuries more serious than was let on? Is he able to compete? Could he pass a physical? But if he can, I think I'd be more excited for Samoa Joe to be in AEW than anybody else on this list. Just because of the roster they have there. They have Bryan Danielson there. They have Adam Cole there. They have CM Punk there. They have Colt Cabana there. I know Colt Cabana is kind of like a... One's not like the other things type of names, but... Yeah, there's a lot of people... There's a lot of people that's Samoa Joe... And that company that Samoa Joe's worked with before. And if Logan was here, he'd probably correct me and name like a bunch of people there that I can't think of right now. That's why Logan's so useful to the show. Because... Without him, I'm just sitting here rambling. I feel like I'm talking in circles. He kind of puts us back on track here. So his job needs to cut that out. I know he's got to make money. He's got mouths to feed. But we need to talk about wrestling. That's what's more important. Getting a paycheck or talking about wrestling for free on the internet to our dozens of listeners. All dozens of you. And I do appreciate all of you. And if you made it this far... Like we always say, please follow us on Twitter. We're at PW Proverbs on Twitter, Pro Wrestling Proverbs on Instagram. We do have a TikTok, working on that. Pro Wrestling Proverbs on TikTok. And that's going to wrap it up for me. I was your host, Anthony. And we're going to see. We're going to see if who's going to show up on Wednesday. I'm going to go with Johnny Gargano. I like Johnny. Because I feel like Keith Lee is too safe of a pick. I'd try not to... I don't like betting on the favorites, you know. I kind of like somebody with little worse odds, you know. So, going with Johnny G. Johnny Gargano showing up on Wednesday. I'm booking it. It's not going to be Triple H, but that Triple H conspiracy thread was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. So, I'm going to wrap it up here with a solo episode of Pro Wrestling Proverbs. Rolling in here at 33 minutes. Thank you so much for your time.